to see people ridiculing other people. In fact, the media tells us that ridicule played a large part in the rage that drove the Littleton gunman to plot the destruction of their school. But as Christians, we need to live by a different standard. We need to guard our tongues to a nobler calling. So let's ask the question, what's wrong with making fun of other people? Well, ridicule can destroy dreams. It can rob other people's sense of self-worth. It drives wedges between people. It disrupts fellowship. And it just generally wreaks havoc among those who might otherwise be friends. But for this lesson, let's start out by defining some terms. When you look at the term ridicule, it's not a word necessarily that we use a lot. Most of us understand the meaning, but we don't necessarily use the word a great deal. But it simply means the act of exposing to laughter for derision or mockery. Ridicule often implies a malicious belittling, bitter scorn, or insult. We need to understand that it is not something that we should be engaged in. The word ridicule is not found in the King James Version of the Bible. So we can't go there to find out what the word actually means. But we can go there and find other words that are similar or very closely related to it, such as the word mock. The Greek word means to jeer at or to deride, to treat someone with contempt or ridicule, to mimic in sport for derision. Sometimes the word is used to refer to righteous men mocking idol gods and their prophets, such as Elijah on Mount Carmel when he met with the 450 prophets of Baal, and they were dancing around there, cutting themselves and screaming and everything else, and he stands there and says, "Hey, maybe you need to yell a little louder. Maybe he's asleep." But most of the time, it is used by people to inflict pain. In Luke chapter 23 at verse 11, we find Jesus being on trial. And it says there, Herod with his soldiers, after treating him with contempt and mocking him, dressed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him on to Pilate. They weren't being polite to him. They were making fun of Jesus. They were deriding him. They meant to ridicule him. We also find another word that is used in the King James Version, the idea of scorn, which means to disparage. It is an emotion involving anger and disgust, often expressed in taunting. If you turn over to Proverbs chapter 22 at verse 10, in the New American Standard, it reads thusly, "Drive out the scoffer, and contention will go out. Even strife and dishonor will cease." The word there that is strife, the word there that is scoffer, is that word. the idea that when you drive that out, when you take the scorn out, then all of the anger and disgust leaves along with it. So I ask a question at the beginning of this, and I sort of answered it, but I didn't answer it maybe as much as I should have. What's wrong with making fun of other people? You know, after all, when you stop and think about it, and somebody, please, don't somebody come up to me afterwards and say something about this. I know precisely what I'm saying, okay? When you stop and think about it, maybe they're not quite the same as we are. Maybe they're different. Maybe they deserve the ridicule. No, they don't. No, they don't. What's wrong with making fun of other people? After all, if I can make fun of other people, then that makes me feel like I'm somebody better. That's an awful sorry way to increase your self-worth. Now, let's answer the question. What's wrong? To start with, God considers it to be a very serious matter when you ridicule someone. In 2 Kings chapter 2, starting at verse 23, it says, "Then he went up from there to Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, young lads came out of from the city and mocked him and said to him, 'Go up, you bald head, go up, you bald head.' When he looked behind him and saw them, he cursed them in the name of the Lord. Then two female bears came out of the woods and tore up 42 lads of their number. He went from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria." This passage has been the consideration of many, many people at how callous God's prophet was. But when you do a little bit of history and you start studying it a little bit, you find out that these lads that are being talked about are not young children. They were probably, I can't tell you precisely, they were probably in their early to mid-20s. You see, they weren't considered grown until they were 30. So they were probably somewhere in their early to mid-20s, so they weren't little children that mocked him and paid the cost for it. Besides that, he was simply applying God's law. If you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 27, start at verse 14 down through verse 16. "The Levites shall then answer and say to all the men of Israel with a loud voice, 'Cursed is the man who makes an idol or a molten image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret.' And all the people shall answer and say, 'Amen. Cursed is he who dishonors his father or mother.' And all the people shall say, 'Amen.'" The idea behind this, of course, is not simply the idea of someone who has an outburst of anger. Elijah didn't just simply have an outburst of anger, but the completion of his divine duty to rebuke and curse sin. Could we say that God thinks that it is a trivial matter to make fun of other people? I don't really think we can say that. So what else is wrong with making fun of other people? How about it's hurtful and it's harmful? Nobody enjoys being on the receiving end of cruel barbs. Remember the golden rule. Today we find so many people who consider the golden rule to be do it to them before they get a chance to do it to you. But that's not what Matthew chapter 7 at verse 12 says. Matthew chapter 7 at verse 12 says, as you would have someone do unto you, do also unto them. It doesn't matter how someone treats you. That does not give you license to be unkind to them. Now, how would you like for someone to make fun of you? Then why make fun of someone else? Matthew chapter 7 verse 12 says, if you don't want them to make fun of you, don't make fun of them. It really is that simple. Well, what if they do it first? Oh, that's the poorest excuse anybody ever came up with in their life. He started it. Yeah, what are you, 4 years old? Sorry, folks, that doesn't get it done. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32, Paul says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. The Greek word which is translated malice in this particular case comes from the same root word that means evil and wickedness. It's the idea of intentionally inflicting pain on someone. It is the opposite of being kind and being tender-hearted. One of the marks of the men growing worse and worse in the society that Paul was speaking of, and I believe in our society today also, can be found in Romans chapter 1 at verse 29, where he says, they are being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. There's that word again. When we look around our society today, what do we see? Well, I think that I would be safe in making the statement that we see a lot of things that we are not very proud of, that we wish were not there. One of the things that we see is a lot of people doing this very thing. When you look at it, wickedness. Do we see wickedness in society today? I think we would all agree the answer to that question is yes. Do we see greed in society today? Well, perhaps that depends upon your definition of greed. But how about we replace the word greed with another word? How about covetousness? Do we see that in society today? Certainly we do. The idea of wanting more and more and more, regardless of who gets trampled underfoot. Envy, murder, strife. I dare say that you can't turn on your television and listen to the news without hearing all three of those. What about deceit? What about malice? Do you suppose, and it matters not who we might be talking about, do you suppose that there is any malice being put out in society today? When you turn on your television or you open the newspaper and you read it, do you read all the derogatory remarks that are made by someone about someone else? Do you listen to all of those on the news, the derogatory remarks being made? What would you call that besides malice or ridicule? It's meant to hurt someone. It's meant to make them feel less than perhaps they really are. In Colossians chapter 3 at verse 8, Paul tells the Colossians, "Now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth." What do we see here? We see that Paul, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is telling those who claim to be Christians that they cannot engage in this type of conduct. We saw it when he wrote to the Ephesians. We see it when he writes to the Colossians. We see it when he writes to the Romans. He says, you cannot engage in this kind of conduct. It is sinful. Have you ever thought about something? And if you disagree with me, I would appreciate it if you'd let me know. Have you ever thought about something? We read Paul's letters, and we say that Paul said this and Paul said that. Did you ever consider, and I'm sure that you have, but maybe a reminder won't hurt, it wasn't Paul that said it. And it wasn't a suggestion. When he said that in Colossians chapter 3 at verse 8, we talk so much about commands. Understand, folks, that's the Holy Spirit giving you a command. You can't keep those things in your life if you are to be a Christian. If you do, you have violated a command of God, have you not? And if you violate a command of God, what do we call that? How about the word sin? He told them to put it away, to get it out of their life. If you back up to the Ephesian passage that we read a moment ago, what did he say? He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. In other words, get it out of your life. It's not a request. It's a command. God says, don't do that. What else can we talk about? What's wrong with people making fun of other people? How about it stirs up strife? We read Proverbs chapter 22 at verse 10 earlier. But what about Proverbs chapter 6? At verse 19, let me slide this down here where I can get to it. Proverbs chapter 6 at verse 19. Yeah, most of you know what I'm fixing to say. There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to Him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among the brethren. Do you notice what's in that list of those seven things? One who spreads strife among the brethren. What do we mean when we start talking about spreading strife among the brethren? Is that me talking bad about Chris? It could be. It could also be the underlying of, well, I don't have my way, so I'm going to talk to everybody I can talk to and see if I can't get them to agree with me. And the next thing you know, what happens to the congregation? Y'all been there, I've been there. We know what happens. When strife walks through that door, we can expect one thing to happen. People to walk back out through that door because they won't stay. Strife, ridicule, things that ought not be in our lives. And one more, it discourages rather than encourages. Let's look at a couple of passages for just a minute. Turn back over, if you would, to the New Testament for just a moment, and turn over to Romans chapter 12. I know we hadn't quite got there in our Sunday morning studies yet. Chapter 12, starting at verse 10. He says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality." That's a description of what a Christian is supposed to be. Now, where in that list did we find spreading strife? Where in that list did we find ridicule? We didn't. We didn't. We are supposed to be encouraging one another, not tearing one another down. When you look a little further, look in Ephesians chapter 4 at verse 12. Where Paul makes this statement. Let's start at verse 11. "He gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers." Now verse 12. Why did he do this? "For the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ." What are we supposed to be doing? Discouraging or encouraging? Which? Look at verse 16 of that same chapter. "From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." Or verse 29, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Over and over and over and over again, we are told to encourage one another, not to discourage one another. I know sometimes preachers get accused of being a discouragement to the people because we always talk about the negative things instead of the positive things. But you think about something. What's negative when I tell you don't do this because if you do this, you're going to get punished? Is that a negative thought or is that a positive thought? Keeps you from getting punishment, doesn't it, if you listen? Now, one more thing. Why do people make fun of others? Why do they do such things? Well, there are a number of reasons why these kind of things happen. Whether they should, whether they shouldn't, that's not the issue. The issue is simply that there are a number of reasons why these things happen. And one of my tabs has been torn off, folks. Isn't that just lovely? Anyway, we will continue on. When we look at it, one of the reasons that we find this to be the case is that there is fear in someone that somebody else may have something or get something that they don't have. Look at Nehemiah chapter 4. Now it came about that when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became furious and very angry and mocked the Jews. He spoke in the presence of his brothers and the wealthy men of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Are they going to restore it for themselves? Can they offer sacrifices? Can they finish in a day? Can they revive the stones from the dusty rubble, even the burned ones?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was near him and said, "Even what they are building, if a fox should jump on it, excuse me, he would break their stone wall down." Why were they doing all of this? Because they were afraid that if the Jews got this rebuilt, they might not be able to control the Jews anymore. That they might not have the power that they've got at that particular point. So, they ridicule them, they belittle them, they make them look weak and immaterial. What's another reason why people make fun of other people? Well, they do it so that they cover up what they don't understand or what they might not except. On the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, Peter and the rest of the apostles got up and started speaking to the crowd that was assembled and that continued to assemble. And the text tells us that each man heard what was being said in his own language. Well, if you look at verse 13 of chapter 2, it says, "Others were mocking and saying, 'They are full of sweet wine.'" They were making fun of them because it was something different and something they didn't understand, and they had to find a reason for why this was happening. They had to put the people down so that they looked wise. By the way, that never works. Never has and never will. People see through it very quickly. So what's another reason? Sometimes it's just simply to be cruel and hurtful. Like the kids that I was talking about at the beginning of the lesson. They want to be cruel and they want to be hurtful. Children doing it might be one thing. Adults doing it is a whole different scenario. In Luke chapter 23 at verse 36, it says, "The soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him, offering him sour wine." The soldiers made fun of Jesus just like everyone else was making fun of him. They didn't think much of his claim of being the Son of God. They did it so that they might inflict pain upon him. And people do it to draw away attention from their own shortcomings. There was a cartoon a few years back. A fellow by the name of Bob West drew the cartoon. And in the cartoon, he had his character saying, "You can't make your light shine brighter by trying to blow out the other person's candle. Your light won't shine a bit brighter even if their candle does go out. It'll still be the same as it was." Some people make fun of other people so that they will look better than they perhaps are. What they don't understand when they do so is that what they have done is simply made themselves look very, very small. There's an old expression. There are some people that you simply have to overlook because they're too small to look under. And when someone decides to ridicule someone else, that expression fits them. They don't make themselves bigger in the eyes of other people by doing that. They actually make themselves look worse by doing that. We live in a rude and a very crude society. As Christians, we must not contribute to that rudeness and that crudeness. Others may laugh when we make fun of someone, but God doesn't laugh. Making other people the targets of our verbal assaults is not amusing to God. When we decide to ridicule people, we need to understand that God is not pleased with what we are doing. That He does not think it's funny. In fact, it can and usually does break a relationship with Him. Because once we start down that path, it's very hard to come back. You see people all the time that do these things, that ridicule others. You even see people who call themselves Christians doing it. God takes a very dim view of that. But you know that can be fixed. If you are willing to change your mind, to change that which you have been doing, to accept God and His way of doing things, then you can become a child of God this morning. We were sitting, Noemi and Diego and I, the other day in a McDonald's, and this older gentleman walked up. He's probably about my age, maybe a little older, maybe a little younger, but about my age. And we started talking. And he reached in his pocket and he pulled out a small, one of these little pocket-sized New Testament and Psalms. And he handed one to each of us. He was a Gideon. Now, he went to the back of it and he was talking in there and showing it to Diego, but doesn't matter whether he was showing it to him or to me or who. And there's a bunch of scriptures back there. And he said, if you will read all of these prayerfully and just ask Jesus to come into your heart, you may be doing some good by passing out Bibles, but from that point on, you need to keep your mouth shut because you're telling people the wrong thing. What I said a few minutes ago, if you're willing to accept him, that's fine. But there are some terms that have to be met in that acceptance, and it's not praying, Jesus, come into my heart. If you're willing to repent of your sins, that means not only being sorry that you did something, but turning completely away from it. If you're willing to confess his name before men, and you're willing to be buried in baptism, you can become a child of God this morning. If you did that sometime in the past, and yet you find yourself looking at this lesson this morning, excuse me, and saying, you know, I've been guilty of that. You don't have to continue in that. Repent of it and ask God for forgiveness. If you need some help with it, ask your brothers and sisters in Christ for their support. None of us is the bastion that we would like to think we are. All of us have weaknesses. Don't be afraid to ask for help, because we all find ourselves in that situation on occasion. Even preachers wind up there. Most of the time we're talking to ourselves. We're not talking to y'all, we're talking to ourselves. If you find yourself subject to the invitation of the Lord this morning, and we can be of help to you, won't you let us know as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.